Church, we'd be foolish not to give him praise when he's done something good for us. And so tonight I'm here, walking by faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to begin reading in the first chapter of James at the 12th verse. All right, here we go. Blessed is the man that endureth, say that with me, temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive, somebody say it with me tonight, you reading it, crown of life, which the Lord hath what? Promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That when the lust hath conceived it, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth, hear this word tonight, death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Hear this at verse 17. If you don't get a hold of anything else, shake everything else off that's tried to distract you and read this right now. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with what? The word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Hear this. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight. Lord, we know that you have blessed us. You have anointed this hour. Lord, you have blessed us with your spirit. And God, we feel your anointing in here tonight. And Lord, I pray that that which you have engrafted in me, that God, we give it in the fullness and power thereof. And we rebuke the hand of the enemy. And we continue forward in the callings that you have given us. For Lord, we are determined to get to the end of these trials, and we're determined to walk in victory and not in defeat. And God, I pray that you will provoke a different kind of spirit out of your people, that when they go out of here, they remember it and they do it, not be a hearer only, but a doer. In the name of Jesus, and the church said, amen. I'm so glad that you're here tonight, because it is appointed unto you to hear the word that God is going to bring forth right now. I'm here to tell you that lately he has been teaching me not only through his word, but by experience itself. There's been some things that were too hard for me to bear emotionally, too hard for me to handle intellectually, too hard for me to handle physically, more than I could bear as a human being. And without him, I would have been caught or stuck somewhere back there. But today I'm here because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It has comforted me in a time when I had been low. It had given me wisdom when I didn't have my own thoughts to think. It gave me the strength to get out of the bed another day and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For 7 days in a row, the Lord has put in my heart to say, Lord, thank you.
thank you for who you are, and thank you for what you've done. I woke up 7 days in a row saying that. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. And when the enemy tries to whisper in me, I simply say, Lord, thank you for who you are, and thank you for what you've done. For I will be tried, but it won't be the end of me. I will be persecuted, but that's not where you'll find me laying. But I will rise and be forth with the Holy Ghost. So in short, I'm highly motivated to be here. We've preached over the past 2 months about storms, about how we get through the beginning, the middle, and the end. I'm here to say, thank God the Lord has moved me from preaching on the storm. You can celebrate tonight. We'll go back there one day, but I felt the release in it. But I'm here to tell you that He doesn't ever leave us without the knowledge of what we need for the very hour that we face. So here we are tonight. We're going through things now. We have the knowledge of what to do in the storm. We know that God doesn't leave us in the storm. We know that He's with us through the whole thing. We know that His Spirit keeps us and is made perfect in us because He is perfect already. And I'm here to tell you tonight that there are many things that you're going to face out there, and the Lord wants to talk about something that we often do not use enough of, that we don't exercise enough, and that when we get caught in the thicket, it rarely comes forth. Tonight I'm talking about the word patience. When you read through the word of James, we're talking about a man that tried to minister to the patience of the saints. You see, some of us get tired when we don't see the blessing. Some of us get tired coming Sunday after Sunday. Some of us get tired going through and fulfilling the obligations that we feel like we need to do. I've been so busy this week, Doris. I've been excited just about 2 or 3 hours of free time. And I said, Lord, I can't wait just to get to take a deep breath and relax for a minute and rest for a little while, because I know that you're preparing something greater ahead of me. But God, I need to know that you are giving me exactly what I need to get through this. So He spoke to me. Patience, in layman's terms, is how will you endure something that you've endured before? How will you endure something that you've endured before? Needless to say, in our behavior, if we face the same old thing time and time again, we're provoked unto wrath or frustration, aggravation, fed up with everything going on around us. Instead of speaking for peace, we're speaking our mind. And instead of praying for deliverance, we're complaining about the bondage. Instead of seeking God for wisdom, we're giving our opinion. Instead of worshiping by faith, we're standing in resentment, questioning if God's even there. But I'm here to tell somebody tonight that we are going to be tested. We are going to have to learn from the things we're tested with. And oh, we're going to have to learn and do it over again and again. Because the only blessings that I've ever got from God wasn't the times that I quit, wasn't the times I said I'm done, wasn't the times that I sat down and said I'm quitting this time, but it was the times that I said, God, in spite of my weakness, I'm still going to stand. In spite of my feelings, I'm still going to worship. In spite of my tiredness, I'm still going to get down and call upon you. In spite of what they're telling me, I'm still going to believe the promise. In spite of when the devil comes to tempt me, I'm going to be strong enough to say no. I'm going to be strong enough to be focused and go after what the Lord has laid out for me. Faith comes easy at first. When you're in a bad way, the Lord will pick you right up, set you right on your feet, and off you go. But then some things are going to happen. I'm talking to you as plain as I can get tonight. Things are going to happen that's going to upset you. Things are going to happen that's going to cause you to waste your time on other things. Things are going to happen that'll cause you to lose your prayer life. Things will happen that'll take away your desire for the Word of God. And when we lose those things that keep us with God, naturally we move away from God. And when we are away from God, therefore our favor leaves us. Therefore, our power leaves us, and therefore it is only the motions without the substance. Patience is the thing that provokes faith to continually stay within you. How will you endure when somebody's pushing on you and saying you can't do it just because you're a woman? You can't do it because you're not the best at what you do. You can't do it because they've been beating you up all week long. You can't be happy because the enemy torments your mind. If you listen to this long enough, that favor and anointing that God has blessed you to hold on to, you'll lose it and walk around in such a negative state. He said a double-minded person is unstable in everything that they do. If you're patient 1 minute and you let it go the next minute, there is no establishment of your faith. You can't continually say that I believe, but you'll be at church 1 week and the next week you're down. Then you'll be coming back expecting something and it's not there, so you're out even further. And we get into this pattern of to and fro, and that's where the enemy's going to come and find you. It is of urgency that we understand that we will face persecution. How do I know this? Because the very salvation that we have was a result of the test of patience. Jesus Christ was the first one that stepped out in a selfless way to endure things that he wasn't required to face sufferings that nobody asked him to, but willingly bore our sins and our iniquities and everything that we'd done wrong so that we could have a way through. So that tells me there's power in being patient in a situation. You might not see it yet, but don't judge it by your eyes. You might not feel confirmation yet, but don't let go of the promise. I'm here to tell somebody that the Lord is here to take every block, every trap that the devil's trying to put in your mind to make you think that nothing's going on. I'm here to tell you that God doesn't move in our senses, but I'm here to tell you he moves supernaturally. He moves in the things you cannot even see. And all that he requires of you is to hold your peace. All he requires of you is to keep your attitude under subjection. All that he requires of you is to walk with a merry heart and just say, God, I believe. He's not saying go out there and fight the fight. He's not saying go out there and say that God's tempting you. But he said to hold on and be faithful. The continual practice of faith is being patient in a trial. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the day coming for us when we're going to have to answer not only by faith, but with patience. There's going to be people that wrong you every single day. What will you say to them if you're the only one that can witness to them and tell them there's a better way? There's going to come a day when they reject you every single time that you asked in the church. But what will you say when they're ready to pray? Will you be ready to receive them? To be like Jesus is to be patient with the world. They're not going to figure it out the first time you bring in the church. They're not going to understand everything that they come in contact with. But what they do see is real people all around them living their lives and enduring the tough times. And I'm telling you that if you'll show somebody a little bit of Jesus in you, they'll be drawn to Jesus. Never in all my life have I seen the enemy going after the children of God with enticing lusts. Never in all my days have I seen people be drawn away so quickly. They feel God. They're one of the ones that's jumping up and down with you. And one thing comes along and rocks the boat, and they're out of their faith. If we don't learn to be patient in our circumstance, we'll come in here every single service and just fight to feel a little bit of sanity. But the best that I can tell in the Word of God, it tells me to walk in peace continually. I'm here to tell you that there is a place you can get to where you don't have to speak your mind, where you don't have to get the last word, where you don't have to get the last laugh, and God will take care of you and fight your battles. Are you patient in temptation? If somebody is blasting everything and talking bad about you on topics, Facebook, what have you, are you quick to go and defend your name? If somebody's making phone calls talking bad about you, are you quick to go and find a resolution and justice for what is done against you? If your co-workers throw you under the bus, are you one to talk about your boss and the others around them to prove that you are who you are? If nobody pays attention to you, are you still content to come into the house of God and know that God is God? I'm not asking you questions that you have to go and think about for a while. I'm talking about the things that we really feel, that we really go through, that we really have to face every single day. I'm here to tell you that every day that when I go through something hard, the devil gives something really pretty for me to try to latch on to. Maybe a little bit of anger will do you today. Maybe a little bit of procrastination will do you today. Maybe a little bit of sadness will get you through this thing. But I'm telling you, every single time that I've took anything he's ever gave, there's no peace. There's no resolution. And by the time that I'm done, all the faith I had is gone. God didn't want us to walk with nothing. But he wanted us to learn that we have something to help us walk. Read this with me. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love. That love, love is not easy, but if fought for, is the best. Love doesn't always come without some patience. If God wasn't patient with us, we would not know his mercy. If God had not looked over all of our shortcomings, we wouldn't walk by grace. But I have found that God has loved me through all the times when I didn't deserve to live. I didn't deserve to obey him again. I didn't deserve to say I'm sorry. I didn't deserve to tell others that I was sorry. I didn't deserve another chance to say, God, thank you for moving for me. I didn't deserve it, but yet he loved me and showed me that he was patient with me. This is about the third time that I've went through the same thing at a workplace. And at first I asked myself, is it me? Is it me? What am I missing? But Faye, you know what? This is the first time that I let go of my hurt, let go of my demand for justice, and finally was left with only faith. Oh, I cried some. Oh, there was times that I could have told everybody and still wouldn't have felt like anybody understood what I was going through. There's been days when I was ready just to hang it up and say, you know what, maybe it's not so bad on unemployment for a while. Maybe it is me. And here comes the enemy, provoking you to think that you're worthless. Provoking you to think it's all your fault, telling you that you're nothing, that you can't do this, and you might as well give up. And yeah, you can run if you want to, but the only way we are blessed is if we're blessed out of something. We are blessed from our obedience. We are blessed by our suffering. We are blessed by our endurance. We are blessed by our perseverance. We are not blessed just because we say we should be. We are not blessed because we did anything good enough to be blessed, but we are blessed by the attribute of God to that part of us that walks in the attributes of God. If you walk in love, you'll be blessed by his love. If you walk in patience, he'll bless you with patience. If you'll learn to hold on and not give up to the point you feel like you failed, then I can tell you by the promise of his word that you will receive a crown of life. A crown is representation of royalty. It says that there is something different about you. It says that you are not like everybody else around you. There might have been a million people that walked that same path that you did, but I'm telling you, there's something precious about coming out of it with a little bit of life left in you. Brother, I'm coming up on 8 years delivered from drugs, and I'm here to tell you that there's nobody that's ever going to take my crown from me. I was blessed out of bondage. I was blessed out of suffering. I was brought through when I didn't have a way, when I deserved to die. There was somebody that was patient with me and gave me a way of escape, that when the temptation would come, Doris, I'd be able to bear it. And today I'm proud to say that every time the devil says, let's go party, I say, God, I know that greater is the party that's going to be in heaven one day. Why would I want to party and waste my time when I know there's going to be a jubilee that I'll go to, and the glory of God will not let sickness nor death nor pain nor suffering enter into that place.
We can call it BYOHG, bring your own Holy Ghost, because it's the only thing that's going to come out of you when God calls for you. If you can't feel the stirring of the anointing of God when it's moving, honey, I'm here to tell you it's time to dig in a little deeper. It's great to say that we believe in Jesus, but there is something to be felt, not often realized in its fullness. But when we know that we have Him with us, then there's nothing that can take that away from you. Do I have anybody in here tonight that knows that they know that they know that they know? Hell, I've got four or five of you. How many of you know that He is living inside of you? How many of you know tonight that greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world? How many people believe that He will be there for you? It's not Brother Jared asking you right now. Brother Jared would have gave up weeks ago, but I'm here tonight as God through me. Don't look in my eyes, but you look down in your heart and you ask yourself, do I have what will cause me to show love and patience